I have a wonderful song for you this morning by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you feel like you're at Brooklyn Tabernacle?
Amen.
Woo! I want to tell you something. Brooklyn Tabernacle is an Assemblies of God church in Brooklyn. And they actually bought an old theater and rebuilt that theater, what you see today. This theater was torn apart, dilapidated, and condemned. And Pastor Simbala was having services in a little building off-centered from that. God told him to go to this building, look it over. And you know, by looking at that, you'd say, Lord, who are you talking to? But he did what God told him to do. And today, Brooklyn Tabernacle is mighty moved by the hand of God. Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir is over 135 voice choir. So probably more than that. No, they got more than that. They probably got about 200 or 300 people. What's that? That's what I meant. The choir is about 200 or 300 people. Now, just for you guys to know, that's my dream. For us to have a choir of that magnitude, that power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you can't feel the presence of God when they sing, maybe you better get up here and let's get you saved. Better. Better. That's a prelude to heaven. Oh, yes. Yes. So, I mean, oh my goodness, now what do I do? This morning, God willing, I want to talk to you about 10 vital revelations concerning the Word of God for living in a troubled world. How many of you think we're living in a troubled world? How many of you know we're living in a troubled world? Well, knowing that, you need to know, how can I, as a born-again believer, handle this? How can I make it through? How can I survive in this troubled world? Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17. Well, just to give you a little thing, our young fellow there that's got the hiccups, I went to my dentist the other day to get two teeth pulled. He had had two teeth filled. He was talking to me. He said, you know, I just got over a two-week spell of the hiccups. Not 2 weeks off and on. His wife put him on the couch because she couldn't sleep. He had hiccups constantly for 2 weeks. And that morning, he said, I don't have them. And then he started hiccuping. And I said, Dr. York, are you sure you want to do my tooth? Are you going to have stable hands? You know? Okay, make sure you don't hiccup when you put the needle in. You know, he did a really good job. He was stable as he could be. And actually, I told him, I said, you better get to the doctor on that one. So obviously he was out for the whole week after that because of the hiccups. And I'll have to call him and find out, make sure he's okay now. 2 Timothy. So my friend, you just go right ahead and hiccup if you have to. I can preach louder. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And it says, listen to this. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for the instruction of righteousness, in righteousness, that the man of God and woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think I need to say that. That the man and woman of God may be what? Complete. That means whole. The Word of God makes you whole. Without the Word of God, you are incomplete. You are not whole. And how many Christians today that don't even take up the Word of God except for Sunday? A shame on you. Okay. May be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work that God has in store for you. Do you know that God has good works in store for you? But there's prerequisites to those good works. There's prerequisites to understanding how to live in a troubled world. And today, I'm going to give you 10 vital revelations through the Word of God that will help you live the life you need to live, the profitable life you need to live, the complete life you need to live, you know, in the Word of God in a troubled world that would rather you not have. This world doesn't care if you're a Christian. I deal with people every day that say they're Christians in word. Our nation claims to be a Christian nation in word. Okay? There's a difference between word and action. Amen? Amen? There's a difference between saying what you are and doing what you are. Words are cheap. Action means something. So, the Word of God is the foundation in the life of a believer. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:24-25. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. Let me say that again. What was it founded on? The rock. Who's the rock?
Jesus.
So when you are founded on Jesus, hallelujah, when you're founded on the rock, he's going to see to it that nothing comes and hurts you. Things might come your way. We're living in a troubled world. Things might come your way. Forces of evil might come your way. But if you're founded in the foundation of the rock, you'll be able to withstand the storms of life. Hallelujah. But, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand, because it's easier to build there than it is on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great and complete was the fall of it. Where is your foundation? If it's in the rock, he'll see you through the storms. If it's in the sand, you will fall. Trouble will come your way, and you will not know how to withstand it. You will not know how to handle it, and the storms will come, life's troubles will come, and you'll fall by the wayside. And it says here, great will be the fall. The believer whose life is founded upon the Word of God can withstand the storms of life. We should not build our lives on worldly counsel and ungodly principles. Our life should be would be destroyed in times of attacks and trials if we do this. If you build your life, your foundation, on the things of the world will tear you apart. The evil one of this world will tear you up. The safe and secure foundation is the Word of God. The Word of God gives stability to our lives. When we build our lives on the Word of God, we can face any storm and still remain strong and stable. The Word of God is useful for teaching us the truth and the right doctrine that we must believe in order that we are not deceived by false teachings and led astray. We are prepared for service and the fruitfulness of the Word of God. We are prepared. So, Foundation. That's why I put number one there, and it's in your thing, is number one. And in your little notes, I've given you the 10, and it's there for you to write notes on it. You can write the scriptures that I give you, whatever, but it's there for you. I believe the foundation of God is the most important thing we need. So if you want to turn that air conditioner on low, the cooler up there, get it, and I think it's on low already. That way we'll get a little air in here. How many need a little air? Well, when I get started preaching, I need a little air. So, okay. Number one, and the most important is your foundation. Okay? Jesus said when he was talking about the cornerstone. Okay, when you build a house, we built this building, right? And we had to lay out the foundation of this building. When we laid out the foundation of this building, if I would have laid it out wrong, we'd be waving a little bit more. You know, maybe we are waving a little bit with the Holy Spirit. But the wind could blow this house down. But we had to have the cornerstone, which is the very beginning part of our foundation, to make this place be what it is and stay as completed as it has. That's the same thing in the foundation of your faith. Okay? We need to build our foundation on the rock and the solid rock of Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. I'm not going to get done with all 10 of them today. I can tell you that. But I'll get you through 5 of them. The very first one. We can't go any farther until we figure out the foundation. Foundation. Okay? The second one. If you go to your second one, it talks about the food. Now, obviously, all of us need food to live. If you know how we could tell when a person is getting ready to transition, we call it? They stop eating, they stop drinking. Their food intake goes to zero. You cannot live without eating. And we do have some group homes that decide when we're going to feed them whether they want to eat or not. And they'll force feed these poor people. And to the point where it's, when you get into that time of transition, and let me give you some medical things here. When your body gets into that point of transition, you don't want to eat. There's the word I'm using, something in your body. I can't remember the name now. No. Well, it could be the chemistry. It's hormones or in your body that is telling you don't need food anymore. You don't need drink anymore. You don't need this anymore. And it puts you at peace because these things that go in your body, they're actually almost like a drug that helps you be at peace and be soothing. God, it's part of our body. And I know, Janie, you know what word. It's not hormones, but it's endorphins. Is that the word I'm thinking? Yeah. But it's endorphins that's in your body, grafted in your body, in your mind, that automatically tells your body that we're shutting down. And as it shuts down, it shuts down the organs. And so things just kind of flow, and your body's at ease and at peace. Unless you try to feed it, okay? And if you try to feed it, what happens is it affects you and it hurts you. Well, the same thing in spiritual walk is our food that we need. You need food. You need spiritual food to intake to help your body grow spiritually. The Word of God, it's food for our soul. We receive spiritual nourishment for our soul through the Word of God. Matthew 4:4 says, but he replied, it has been written, man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Now, when is that? When was that taking place? Anybody? When was that taking place? This, thank you. In the wilderness, he was being tempted, and old Satan, Lucifer, old Slewfoot came to him and said, you know what? You know, do this, and I'll see to it everything is right. You know, praise and worship me, and I'll see to it that everything in this world is yours. Jesus replied to him and said, you cannot and you will not live by the word of flesh, but by the word of God. Everything that proceeds out of the mouth, you shall be upheld and sustained by the word of God. Therefore, we must partake in this spiritual food regularly to live strong spiritual life. What does regularly mean? Consistent. Every day. You know, whatever it takes in your Christian walk, you need spiritual food to survive. Again, foundation is God. Spiritual food is His Word. If we don't engraft the Word of God into our life when the storm comes, troubles comes, you'll fail. Satan comes and tempts you. Satan comes at you. And he will. I'm not going to say that he won't. He will. If you don't have the Word of God in you, you're not going to be able to all the time carry this Bible with you. Okay? So, what's going to come about if when you're attacked by Satan, God can bring back to remembrance what you have learned. Right?
Yep.
But he can't bring it back if you haven't learned it. So what are we to do? Boy, that was weak. What are we to do?
Study.
If we neglect to receive daily spiritual nourishment from the Word of God, we would become weak spiritually and become a victim of the attacks of Satan in our lives. We must take time to meditate and to feed on the Word of God. This is our spiritual nourishment, which leads and helps us to grow strong in our spiritual life. It helps you to grow, okay? 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto complete salvation. Complete. That's God. That's what God is doing to you and I. It's the Word of God. Why did God give you this? It's what? Get to know Him. It's instruction. This is your instruction manual. Okay? And it is your weapon that will flow against Satan. If you do not know it, and I'm talking to you guys very plainly today, if you do not know the Word of God, and Satan hits you with attack, you will fail. You will fail. Get to know the Word of God. This is why He produced it. This is why He gave you this Word. Our very first scripture we gave you, it says that the Word of God was for you. It's the inspired Word of God from God Himself. Now, if He wrote this, He must have known what He was doing. Okay? And I mean, I have heard it from so many people. Well, the Word of God is nothing but man written. Yeah, how many have heard that? I think all of us have. But there's a difference between man written and man, by God inspired by man to write. It's God inspired. Man couldn't have wrote this. You know, this is God inspired. And there's so many things. Understand, this Bible was written over 1,500 years, time span that it was written. How could they say the things that they said? They didn't have the Bible back in the Old Testament. They had to do it by the inspiration of God. God brought to remembrance things that took place in this Word that's historical. It's historical. It happened. It can be proved. And day in and day out, they're proving it. Okay? Archaeologists are proving it, that this is true. There's so many other things out there and so many other supposedly Bibles that aren't truth. They're not truth. And they can be disproved historically. This can be proven historically. Well, hallelujah. Do you get what I'm saying? Just the very first two should you make us excited. But now I'm going to give you another one. Felicity, thank you. I practiced that word 5 or 6 minutes to make sure I said it right. You know, I got that from the dictionary, by the way. So I had to look up the word to say, well, now let me see what this says. And then we must be filled with the word of God. Felicity, filled with the word of God. Those who delight and meditate day and night on his world and on his word will experience success. I know I got to say that one again. How many of you want to be successful? Okay? If you want to be successful, if you want to be positive in everything that you do, then you've got to be grafted into the word of God. It says that you will be successful in all your endeavors if you're grafted into his word. The Lord told Joshua to fill his heart and mind with the word of God in order to make his way prosperous and have good success. Okay? We have to understand that Joshua, what did he do? Besides many other things, but most of the kids know his very first endeavor. The Battle of Jericho. I think every kid has seen or felt or heard Joshua, the Battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Okay? But that was the beginning. And God instructed Joshua, I want you to, as we progress in this walk that I'm walking with you, you know, I want you to grow stronger in me. Fill your heart with me. Fill your mind in my word. You know, back then they didn't have the Bible. So how did he fill his heart and his mind in the word? How? Praise. Worship. I believe Joshua spent hours, not minutes, hours, days, engrafted into the prayer and heard the word of God. The word of God was grafted by God himself talking to him. Oh my goodness, I love that. You know, I thank God for his word, written word. But I'd love to hear his voice. You know, his voice come to me and tell me. Sometimes I feel at times, Lord, I'm not doing this on my own. I need your help, oh God. Anybody feel like that or just pastor? We should not fill our hearts, listen to this one, and minds with the filth and the evil of this world. And there are Christians that are doing that. If you fill it with that, when the storm come, you'll fall. You'll fall. Rather, we must fill it with the truths of the word of God. I love this one. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, but nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. And whatever he does, I'm going to say that again. People have a problem with that word prosper. But whatever you do will prosper. Let me say that again. You're not getting it. God promises to prosper you and I. Now, I'm not a faith preacher or prosperity preacher or whatever. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this. By that word, in the book of Psalms, in the Old Testament, God is telling you that if you do these things, he will prosper you. Okay? Through this hardships, through the hard times, through the battlegrounds, through the storms, he will take you through them and you will come out smelling like a rose. Get that. I mean, you got to get it. You got to get it. Velocity. Felicity. Thank you. That means that we need to be meditating day and night into the Word of God. If we will meditate into His Word, if we will fill our spirit, our soul, our mind with His Word, He promises He'll take care of us. And that I believe in. That's a prosperity I believe in. That God said He'd do it. God said He'd do it. He will do it. So, foundation must be where? Foundation on the rock. Okay. The food is what? The infallible understanding, Word of God. Okay. Felicity. Thank you. I could spend 10 hours trying to work that when it were, and I'll still fail. Felicity means that we need to be meditating, filled with His Word in our hearts. And then, you know why I know that? Because when I first got saved, I carried the biggest Bible I could find. Because I thought that would show everybody, I'm a born-again believer. Now, you know those old family Bibles? I had one of those family Bibles from my family that, you know, when I think every house back in those days that were, if you're a Baptist, you have. If you're a Baptist, you had a big family Bible. You didn't do nothing with it. You just put it on your coffee table. There you go. Well, I carried that around with me. Not that I read it much, but I felt that was my shield at the time. And I'd go see my aunts and my uncles, and I want to tell you what kept me stronger in faith than anything. What kept me stronger in faith, and maybe young people, grab a hold of this. People are going to ridicule you. People are going to call you names. People are going to call you fanatic. People are going to call you, wacky, peculiar. Oh, they called me, my family called me, Jerry, we know you. They did. You're always one of these persons that, go up on a whim and you're there for a while and you're gone. Because that was me. I would find, I find all the little ones, like the Star Wars craze. You know, I love Star Wars, so that's a craze, But that's just an example. But I find little things that trends. I like new things. Sharon's always upset with me because I would buy new things just because I want to try them out. They're new. So, or our new type of food. New type of food. Anybody had any new type of food that you had and after you had it, you didn't want it again? That's me. But I had to try it. It's new. It's a new sandwich came out. You got to try that sandwich. And after you're done, you say, done that, get me out of here. Well, you know what? That's what my family said. This is a fad. It'll go away. Young people, if you get thrown that in your face, that is the most encouraging thing you can have told to you. Because it will keep you strong in the Lord. You will either let it beat you or you will beat it. Okay? It made me stronger and more stubborn to stay with the Lord. And many, many years later, let me see, 18, 28, 29, 40, 58, 45 years later, here I am. Do you understand? You understand? That is that word, felicity. Stay strong in the Lord. And I use this little saying, sticks, girls, you know this, little sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. If you got to say that right to the devil's face, say it to him. Because that is a truth. People cannot hurt you. People can say all they want, but they cannot take your spirit away. They can't take your faith away. Only you can do that. Only you can do that. Are you getting this?
Amen.
Now I got a good one for you. Number four. Fight. Fight. We must use the word of God to fight the evil forces around us. To fight the devil himself. We must use the word of God. I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit, found in Ephesians 6:16-17. And you can look that up later if you want. I think it'll probably come up on here. You know, and what it is telling us here that, and take the helmet of salvation. What is that? That's your salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is what?
The word of God.
Okay. Take your salvation and the word. And the word, which is the word of God. Take that with you everywhere you go. Because that's going to be the fighting force that you have. And if you don't have it, if your salvation's weak, the devil knows it. Let me say that again. If your salvation is not strong in the Lord and it's weak and you're just hanging in there, when the storms of life come and the devil hits you, he's going to knock you down. You must be strong in your salvation and your walk for God. And don't let anybody sway you from that, because that's all you have. Okay? This world's going to come, this world's going to go. But what you have in the Lord is going to last. Okay? The sword, again, what am I talking about?
The word of God.
The word of God. I'm trying to help you this morning understand that you need to graft yourself into this word. And that doesn't mean pick it up every Saturday night or every Sunday morning when the pastor's here to show off. You're not showing me nothing. You need the word of God. And I do like the ones that you have your cell phones with you. Don't get me wrong. Cell phone has the word of God on it. But I really believe you need this.
The word of
God. The word. The written word of God. So that when you come to church, bring it, the word. Can I say that again?
Bring
the word. Don't rely on this pastor to give you the word. Bring it with you. Bring it with you. There's going to be some time when the power of God's going to hit so strong, he's going to start reading to you from the word and telling you things. Do you understand that? The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. This is the weapon the Holy Spirit uses in our spiritual warfare. There is enormous power and the anointed word of God to destroy the works of the devil. And we must use the word of God in times and battles with evil forces and proclaim the authority of the word of God over every demonic stronghold and break the yoke of the enemy in our lives. We have to do that. The word of God helps us discern the real motives of people who may try to deceive us. It also reveals the truth and the true condition of our own hearts in order that we do not deceive ourselves. Did you understand we can do that? You know, we can say, oh, I'm born again. I get this every day. I deal with over 120 people now in my work. 120 is on our enrollment right now. That means I have to at least see them once. All 110 of them I get to see one time to see how their what their faith is, what their spiritual walk is. Nine times out of 10, we're Christian. We just don't go to church. We just don't like church. But we're Christian. And I'm saying to myself, which I have to say to myself and I can't say to them, Lord, help them. Understand, Christian by word is nothing. Christian by action is everything. You can say you're a Christian. This nation claims to be Christian, and it's way, way off of being a Christian nation. We've lost our Christian nation, and we need to get back to our Christian nation. Please take time to pray for every one of our politicians. They need it. They need it. They need to get back under the power of the Holy Spirit and let God lead them, not man. Because if they're led by man, that's the devil. And if the devil leads them, I really feel for America. Probably one of the last nations in the world that was founded under God, was truly powerful and anointed. Just, and I'm not a politician, so I'm not going to talk politics to you, but just I'm telling you, we have to fight. We have to fight. We have to fight. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Can I give you one more? One more. And this one's powerful. Powerful. Faith. Faith. Without faith, what is it? You cannot please God. It's impossible to please God. There's another saying, faith without works is dead. But if you have the faith, you'll do the works. See, people think they have faith, but they're doing nothing about it. So really, do they have faith? If you have faith in God, you'll see things. You'll want to do things. Because as you do things, your faith grows stronger. If you don't do things, if you don't do what God tells you to do, your faith will grow weaker. God will instruct you. That's what he does. The word of God stimulates us. Ooh, I like that word. I got that from the dictionary. Stimulates us. And inspires our faith. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God brings clarity and understanding in times of perplexity and confusion." Ooh, anybody been there? Okay. The word of God, when you feel confused, you feel a little perplexed in your spirit, I'd say grab that word of God and start reading it. Start reading. I'll sometimes do this. I'll have the word of God like this. Lord, I don't know. I'm perplexed. I'm confused. God, give me your word. Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
And I'll open up and, whoa, Lord, help me. By the way, I opened up to Job. What's that telling you today? Therefore, we must be careful to fill our hearts with the word of God, which will fill us with faith and confidence. And did you understand, if you really do open up Job and read it, there's faith, there's confidence, there's understanding. You know, and I think that was a good opening there, because Job went through an awful lot, right? He went through the storms of life. He went through. Did he lose his faith?
No.
He stuck with it to the very end. And it says in the word of God, and if my word of God is correct, God doubled everything Job had. Yeah. Hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We should not be easily troubled by the various voices of fear and despair that may surround us, and they will come. We must focus our attention on the word of God. When Jairus heard of the news of his daughter was dead, he went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, my daughter's dead." But this is where faith came in. He says, "But I believe that if you will come to my house and you will be able to lift her up from this death by speaking the word." The word. Jesus went with him. Okay? He went to his house. He immediately spoke the word of faith to him and strengthened him. And Jesus put away everybody else. See, he went into the house, and what was going on? The faithless generation that was in there was doing all their moaning and groaning. That's why I don't do funerals. People want me to do funerals? I say no. You want me to do celebration of life? Let's do it. I did three celebration of lives two weeks ago. And the last one I did was on a Friday, and it was glorious. It was an hour long, and we just praised God. The people had great testimonies of the godliness of this woman. You know? I only knew her when she was fully engulfed with dementia. But even in her dementia, she was a loving lady. And she would come to me. She'd know when I was coming. She'd say, hi. Of course, I guess she probably said that to everybody. But anyway, but it did make me feel good. You know? But the thing was, it was a glorious celebration of life. Celebration of life. I don't do funerals. You know? So he walked into a funeral. And he kicked him out. He brought his close disciples with him. Okay? He said, where is she laying? They opened the door to her room. And when he went in, he took his hand and put it upon her hand. And he raised the dead daughter to life. Do you understand? That's what it is. That's what it is. It is faith to believe. And there are plenty of dead Christians today that they be raised from the dead of their spiritual death and come alive again. And you know who's going to do that? Jesus through you. You. You have the ability because you have Jesus inside you. You have the ability and the faith. See, that's where faith comes in. Faith without works is dead. But if you have the faith, like a little mustard seed, you'll take that faith and it'll grow inside you, and you'll be able to go around to these dead Christians and say, can I pray with you? And the power of God will hit you through the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to pray with them, and you'll be able to help them see what is probably hidden inside and move by the power of God. Faith. 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 We must surround ourselves with people of faith in times of distress to experience a miracle. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and then not fulfill? Do you understand that? This is the Old Testament. We can trust his promises with full assurance that he will fulfill what he has promised. The word of God is faithful and trustworthy. The promises of God are a source of strength in times of difficulty and affliction. The Lord promises to help us and remove our fears. We must trust in the faithfulness of God's promises and face every situation with faith and confidence. Jesus said that even if the heavens and earth pass away, his words will never pass away. And this is still true today. Mark 13:31. Heaven and earth will. Shall. It's going to happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And if you have the word of God entrusted, engulfed into your spirit, no matter what comes your way, it'll be there. It'll be there. It'll give you strength in the times of trouble. It'll give you encouragement in times when you feel not encouraged. When people come at you and say all kinds of evil against you, wrongfully, because they're going to find things to say wrong against you. And they're wrong, but they're going to say them, right? If you're strong in your faith, say, sticks and stones won't break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You can say it in yourself if you want. If you feel really strong, say it to them. But reality, that's it. That's the truth. The words that people say will never hurt you. Oh, the words that God says will strengthen you. will strengthen you, will help you. Yeah, they can hurt. I'll guarantee you. Yeah, the tongue can hurt. But if you have the faith and the strength of God, if you are founded in the foundation of God, if you are founded in the food of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, if you have felicity, I told you I was going to mess that one up. That means you are engulfed and surrounded and meditating on His Word. If you are able to fight by the Word of God, and you know what? That's the problem. There's a lot of Christians out there that will try to fight. Fist fight. They get, something happens and they'll go to fight. Well, if you slap me in the Bible, it says that if you slap me the first time, I'm not supposed to do anything. It doesn't ever say anything about the second time. I've heard that saying. But I say fight them back in the Word of God. Fight them back in the Word of God. The Word of God's your strength. Pray. And then the last one, faith. Faith. Have faith in God. I'm going to leave that with you today. And next week, we'll do the next five. If you need to close your eyes, close your eyes. And don't forget, afterward, we're going to be celebrating 3 birthdays. We got a cake for them. So, but just meditate. Turn it up a little, please. Just let it go.
We're all gathered here.
You're at Brooklyn Tabernacle now. Close your eyes and just think you're in this big sanctuary. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
With a lifted hand.